WTR Sunday Night Wrestle Talk Radio live right here on the Wild Talk Radio Network, wildtalkradio.com, twitch.tv/WTR Live. Chat if you have that Amazon Prime. Link it to your Twitch account. It's called Prime Gaming. Support the channel by clicking the purple rectangle at the bottom of the screen. You can use credit code Rockstock in the Fortnite item shop. Chris, hashtag Epic Partner. We're here to talk about the Royal Rumble that took place last night in Tampa, Florida, in front of 48,000 people. And apparently, the story is going to be finished. We'll talk all about it. Tampa, St. Petersburg, it's close enough. Same area. Anyway, I'm the producer. That's the intern.
Heyo.
And that's Tim Stein.
Amigos, ¿cómo está?
We did not press number two. No, we pressed one for English. Numero uno.
Here's many in Spanish. Press number two.
No, no.
In Spanish, but you'll enjoy this part.
No, none of it.
No. Well, let me try this one for you.
No. No.
What?
Not that voice either. No.
Stop that, or I'll keep going. Now shut up.
No.
Shut up or you're not. No, don't be talking.
Okay, we'll just mute him. Good evening, everyone. Welcome to another edition of WTR Sunday Night.
Hey,
Wrestle Talk Radio
Wrestle
Live.
Talk Radio.
There we go. You were muted because you were doing the voice. I muted you.
Stop muting me when I do my voice.
No, it's terrible.
I don't care what you think, man. Don't do that.
I have a button. I can do it anytime I want.
Don't do that.
There we go. We can mute it again.
Stop.
Anywho, we're here to talk about the Royal Rumble, Tim.
No, we're not. No. You keep muting my voice. We're going to talk wrestling.
Yeah, the Royal Rumble, professional wrestling.
No. We're going to talk Detroit Lions.
No, they didn't show up in the second half.
They thought the game was over at halftime.
It was.
That was epic. That epic collapse.
There's 27 points at one point, 27 nothing at one point in the second half. So that was
unbelievable.
Bad.
Well, I guess we're cheering for the 49ers.
No, we're not.
Why not?
No, we're not.
Who are you cheering for?
Andy Reid and the Swifties.
He's cheering for Taylor Swift.
And the Swifties. Kelsey's. Anyway.
She's got a concert in Tokyo.
Yeah, she'll be back in time, according to the math people put out.
12-hour difference.
Yeah, she'll be back with 20 something hours to go.
Dude, they'll put her on a Concorde, or there's some like
No, they won't. They're retired.
Whatever, you know what I mean. They'll put her on a space shuttle to get her here on time if need be.
She'll be there to support him for the Super Bowl.
Put her in an AF-52.
Anyway, let's talk about the Royal Rumble last night.
So that happened.
Overall impressions of the show, Brent.
Honestly, I was entertained by this show. I know some people are complaining and moaning about the fact of, you know, oh, so-and-so didn't show up, or oh, there weren't that many surprises. We've talked about this in the past with some of these shows. It doesn't necessarily... What?
Didn't need them.
No, you didn't need them in this case. This shows off the roster you have. The surprises, the big, you know, oh my god, we haven't seen this person in forever, is usually when you're running really thin. And plus, a lot of the people that were in the match were decently named people. It wasn't the fact of, you know, oh, and no offense to this person. It's not like you were going, oh wow, Akira Tozawa is coming in at number 13.
Hey Brent, what happened to them? Where were they? Thought they were the Royal
All three members of the Alpha Academy men's division did not make the match. Even though they were announced on the YouTubes as being part of it, and it was on Wikipedia, they were gone.
And then it wasn't.
Yeah, and like 3 days before the show, they were gone.
They were gone. They weren't there, bro.
I think it was one of those like, okay, we're going to sketch out the show, and you started to place people in certain spots, and you realized, oh, we probably don't need these people here, or we really want to fit this person in, so shit.
I think what it was they said if we could do it, that's what they would do in the video. I think of it, if we made it, they would be in it. They just never made it because reasons.
They didn't make it to be in it.
They just didn't make it. They weren't there. But that's why it was weird last week when you're like, hey, they were the ones announced. It's like, seems odd. And here we
were. Yeah, but every now and then you've got, and I mean, we'll talk about this. There was like one or two spots where you looked at things and went, huh. But no, overall, I think it was good. And I think you had some good spots. And honestly, there's one or two people that kind of got made a little bit in their matches within the Rumble. So, right.
That was your overall impression. Tim, overall impression of the show before we get into the entire thing.
Oh, I was very entertained by the entire thing. The flow was absolutely great. The booking stood out as exceedingly solid. Every match told the story it needed to tell, and every story told was logical and made sense.
Okay, that's the general overall impression of the show. Let's talk about the one that opened up the show. It's the Women's Royal Rumble, and I have questions for you both. Favorite moment from the Women's Royal Rumble, Brent?
One of my favorite moments from this was a moment that was very briefly touched on, but didn't really happen because, oh God, it's going to tease something in the future.
What was that?
And that was the stare down. Yep. Between Jade Cargill and Bianca Belair after they both military pressed the hell out of their opponents.
And that is the match that I called for back in when? October, November?
When she was first signed? I think that's the match everyone wanted.
Yep.
But it was just great because it's like, I think Jade had Becky. Or no, I think one of them had Becky up in a military press, and one of them had a, spoiler alert, surprise return of Liv Morgan in a press, and they both just dropped them, and they stood there and stared, and I know everyone was clamoring for them to, like, touch, but it's even better that they didn't, because it builds to when they actually will. Just that stare down alone got everyone hyped, and you heard the fans erupt at that moment.
Follow up to that, Brent.
Yes?
Were you surprised how much, sort of, like, Becky was a background player in this match?
No.
No? Why not?
I'm not, because they've already telegraphed what they're going to do with Becky. So she didn't need to be the big deal in this match if she wasn't going to win.
Okay.
And so the fact that she didn't win the match means you could scale it back a little bit, let the person who is going to win get some shine. Becky was just a very good performer in this match in all of her interactions. She had a fantastic moment with Chelsea Green.
Mm-hmm.
That was freaking amazing with just how simple it was.
Oh boy!
But
how many times did she die in that?
Oh God, that's I'm talking on that later for another question Rock has. But it was just one of those things. Like, it was a very simple thing that happened there, and plus Becky just was in there and performing. And like I said, she's going to get a big match at Mania. We know it. She's one of the featured women in the division. She doesn't have to, you know, prove it every instance of every time. She went in there, she had a good performance, she got eliminated, and it was, you know, it helped build other people, which is what you needed with this. What one of the big moments that came from all of this was at the very end, and it was that one camera shot along the guardrail, and it was just showing, like, look at all of these people, this is what you can expect moving forward.
They were really good with camera shots. They were really good with them last night.
Yeah, it was.
In both Rumbles.
And it was just like, it was foretelling stuff. Yeah, it just did a really good job. And yeah, Becky didn't need to be the featured player. She just needed to go out and do her part and prove that it's like, other people can run with this. And I think it really helped one person in particular.
Who's that?
Bayley. It last night was her time.
Mm-hmm.
And at the very end of that match, she got that moment. And when you heard the press conference after the show, you can hear how much it really meant to her and how big of a moment it really was. Everyone else on the Four Horsewomen have had a big moment. This is Bayley's turn.
It is Bayley's.
And she's earned it.
It is her turn. She has earned it. Tim, what was the moment that stood out for you as your favorite?
Well, definitely there were a couple of moments that stood out, like favorite moments. One of them, of course, was comedy, naturally. That's me. And you know, by that chuckle, you know where I'm going with this one.
Oh, yeah.
Truth.
Oh that too.
Oh, yeah. When Truth came in, what, 24?
Yep. In both Rumbles.
Both Rumbles. Spoiler.
He pops up twice on my list tonight, but we'll stick with the women for now. We'll get to the second one. Mm-hmm. But yeah, there were two instances of really good comedy. R-Truth, and then of course the main event comedic performance.
Say it, Brian.
She was absolutely incredible.
Say the name.
Chelsea Green.
Like she did so good. I'm yes. like, she made me feel for her.
Oh, God. From the moment she entered and they teased the spot of her getting immediately chucked was pert, because it's like she gets back in and she holds up the five fingers like, I've lasted longer than 5 seconds. I'm good. And then the match just went downhill for her.
Straight That's what, from there.
She is my standout performer for the women's match.
How many times did she get squashed in the corner before she got squashed on the mat?
Oh God, she got squashed like five or six times. And she, every time she just acted dead.
And then Piper at one point holding her up like she's out on her feet.
Oh, Piper had the best line of the night when, so Chelsea's dead on her feet, like eyes are rolling back in her head. Piper grabs her, holds her up, and just goes, "Chelsea, they're having a sale at Louis Vuitton. Snap out of it." And then Chelsea just falls directly to the mat.
It was just so good. It really was.
she was really good in the match.
And then when she's on the mat, she's literally dead to the world. Like, Rock pointed it out on our chat. Like, she just didn't move.
She didn't even flinch.
She sold the... She pulled a Jimmy Uso and just sold the hell out of that part of the match while the match was going on.
It was just... It was good. It was impressive. Oh. But I do have another favorite moment.
Okay, what is it?
The return of Naomi. Naomi, whatever.
Naomi. Yeah. That
pop.
She's back.
It was like, I come Nat, and then you heard the music. I'm like, shut up.
How to give her the entrance.
You expected her to be there, but you didn't really.
I kind of figured she was going to be there.
Well, like, and
if
you're going to debut her, you did it in the right spot, in Florida, in, you know, central to southern Florida, because it gives her that hometown pop. Plus the fact that she's returning, plus the fact she's beloved by the fans.
And of course, with the first two out, you know, Natty and then Naomi, the two of them are really fast friends behind the scenes. The handshake
mm-hmm.
between them before they even thought about walking out was really good.
Well, and it's great booking on their part because, well, whenever it comes to the Royal Rumble, your one and two are usually going to get about, what, 2 minutes or so to work before they really get the first entrant in?
90 seconds.
It's a more firm 90 seconds than the 90 that we see later on.
Mm-hmm.
But it's like, usually you want to get one or two people in there that are pretty good workers because, one, your number one or two are probably going to go a fair amount of time because that way they can announce, you know, oh, so-and-so has been in the match for 30-plus odd minutes. You need someone that's going to, you know, help direct a little bit, help be a good performer for spots. And those two are really good people to have in that spot, unlike some other people who came into the match at some point.
Yeah, and overall, there are a couple of stumbles, but overall, the Women's Rumble was really good this year.
Oh, yeah.
It really was.
You have to expect to stumble here and there in both every year.
It's wrestling. It happens. Brent told us his standout. Who was your standout performer?
She didn't have a hell of a lot of time in the ring, but my standout definitely Jade Cargill.
Really?
Yeah, she stood out to me. The show of power leading up to the showdown with Bianca. Okay. She's the one who eliminated Nia single-handedly. Mm-hmm. She lifted Nia up onto her shoulders. She was, you know, like showing off feats of strength.
This match proved to me that she was made for the WWE.
She still needs a lot of training. You caught Liv Morgan telling her no.
No, I think it was Nia telling someone no.
No, no. After the Oblivion, Liv actually said to Jade, "No, literally, like, don't do anymore."
Mm.
You missed it, Brent.
But
didn't you?
Well, yeah, I wasn't particularly looking for it.
But as far as Natty goes, yeah, no, she was directing her time in the ring. She was directing the match.
But the one thing I will say about Jade is the style for WWE fits her better because she can hit power moves and let them sit. She can tell story in between. With AEW, a lot of her matches were move, 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 because that's the way they're booked on that side. And for her, being so new and being as athletic as she is, what it does is it makes her go fast and like get caught up in everything. And that's where in matches that Rock and I saw, we would comment on the fact that like she needs to slow down, she needs to, you know, learn pacing for this kind of stuff. But there, that wasn't the element they were going for. They were going for get to your next high spot. When she works matches here in the WWE, she can take her time and they can tell a story, and she's going to look like an absolute beast through these, and it's going to look amazing because she has the presence to carry in matches like this.
What would you say your biggest surprise was then, right?
My biggest surprise was entrant number 5.
Who was?
It was, and the announcers made sure you knew this, your current TNA Knockouts champion, Jordynne Grace.
Before you go any further, I'm just making that unanimous as my biggest surprise for the Women's Rumble match as well. I've got one more, but yeah, no, that's the biggest one.
Yeah, that music hit, and you kind of went, what? Who is this? And then all of a sudden, like, the name popped up on the little sidewalls or on the big monitor, and you went, oh, that relationship between TNA and WWE has continued.
Yeah, I recognize that music right off. You remember, Champagne Singh is a really good buddy of mine.
Okay.
And so I do catch TNA on occasion. Mm. You didn't know that.
Good job, Tim. You're watching promotions. Woohoo!
Yoo-hoo.
Watching wrestling.
But no, that music hits and I'm like, shut up. No way. What kind of a deal does WWE and TNA have together?
Friendship. That's what they have. Friendship.
It is a nice working relationship. And the one thing I will say is they made Jordynne seem like a big deal. And it wasn't one of those things where, you know, oh, okay, they came in for a spot. They were there for like 2 or 3 entrants. And then they were just kind of casually tossed out. Jordynne looked like a big deal, and Kayshief said this last night in our chat. The fact that it took Bianca to nail the KOD on her on the apron to eliminate her kind of shows you some respect there of like, yeah, it took a finisher. It took a big move in a big spot to get this person out of the ring.
I said
exactly.
That. I said it.
Oh, you did. I couldn't remember if it was you or Keish, but I'm sorry. Rock said it.
It was my boy. But no, it wasn't a cameo. That's the best way to put it. It was not a cameo. It was a full-on performance in the Royal Rumble. And that's what you wanted. And that's, like, Mickie James had 4 minutes. She had about 15 to 20.
Mm-hmm. And the one thing is if you've read the socials, Jordynne basically has said, like, you know, this probably isn't my last time here. You know, keep an eye out. It's one of those, you know, if the Knockouts Championship happened to be on a WWE show, I wouldn't be opposed, and it would be great exposure for them.
It happens. It happens. There's no forbidden door because that's a silly term according to Triple H. And yeah, if it happens, it happens. If nothing happens after this. It was a great moment, and see them down the line.
Yeah, and it shows that you're willing to work with them and feature their performers now. Does it always have to be, you know, okay, we're going to put TNA over? Not necessarily. But if you give them, you know, competitive 15, 20-minute matches or spots, all of a sudden it's like, oh, shit. Like, this is legit compared to we're going to take your title hostage.
No one would ever do that.
No.
But, yeah, so who was your other surprise, Tim?
The winner of the Women's Rumble. I know I picked her to win the Rumble. But I didn't expect it. I honestly didn't expect it to happen.
The winner was
Bayley.
And again, good on her.
Very well deserved.
She gets to have a featured spot at Mania.
She deserves it.
Against who? We don't know yet. I think we all know.
Well, we
but
all
against
know,
who?
But
it hasn't been announced yet.
Hasn't been announced yet. She's going to fight whoever the NXT Women's Champion is currently. No.
She's going after Lyra Valkyria.
Maybe not. We did see Roxanne Perez, who was challenging for that championship in the Royal Rumble. So.
Yep, Roxanne in there was a good call. We got Tiffy time.
Your girl Tiffany was in there, yeah.
She did well for herself.
Mm-hmm.
It's another... See, the one thing I liked about NXT is sometimes NXT is used as fillers in this match. This year, it felt like the we're going to give you that taste of some people that you can expect in the near future.
And a lot of them were short bursts, but the moments were good.
Yeah, it was a nice casual introduction to people that it's like, if they make another appearance on TV, you go, oh yeah, I remember seeing them. It's not, oh, so-and-so's here from NXT, and you go, who? For the casual fan.
Yeah, so yeah, Bayley's your winner of the Female Royal Rumble. Any final thoughts on this one, Tim?
Nothing more than what I've said already, really. I mean, the booking was great overall.
Shout out to Kairi Sane, though, by the way, for her
Kofi moment.
Mm-hmm.
She tried. She really tried, and Asuka was holding on to her, trying to help her, but it just wasn't meant to be.
Also, Bianca's braid.
Oh, God, Tiffany holding on to that thing. Number one, it shows you the athleticism and flexibility of Tiffany Stratton. And two, it shows you how goddamn strong that braid is.
Indeed. So yeah, Bayley's head of the WrestleMania again. This is someone.
Also nice to see Liv Morgan back in her Christina Aguilera inspired gear. And yes, that's what it was, because she put the picture side by side.
As always, she finds an era of Christina or Britney or someone to rock in these big moments. So
yeah, I was trying to figure out what Zelina's stuff was from, but I couldn't.
I'm gonna go with what Casey said. Anime.
It was either an anime or some kind of gaming reference. I just couldn't place it. Someone was trying to say it was like Overwatch, but I couldn't find enough of a match.
All right, up next, Fatal 4-Way for the WWE Undisputed Universal Championship.
Ooh, ooh.
It's not ooh-woo. No ooh-woo.
It's the ooh. It's no. The Undisputed WWE Universal Champion. The O-U-W-U. The ooh-woo. There's no heavyweight in there.
There's a C in there. There's a C
ooh-wook?
In there.
Ooh-woo?
Yeah, no, there's no, but it's not ooh-woo. There's no ooh-woo.
But if we call it the ooh-woo championship, there, it captures it all.
No. No ooh-woo.
Yes. Oh. Yes, it's the Uwu Championship. Lindsay has my back on it.
Did you catch all the Uwu last night in chat, right? Or did you miss it?
Did I catch all the Uwu? No, I didn't catch the Uwu. I was busy. I was on a job, if you remember.
I know. I want to make sure we argued about it last night.
I was on special assignment thanks to the producer.
You were on special assignment. It worked out. It worked out very, very well. Anywho, Roman. AJ, LA Knight, Randy Orton, thoughts, opinions, go, Brent.
The very start of the match was great. You had AJ and LA Knight kind of at each other's throat. You had Randy kind of sitting there, and Roman's just sitting in the corner, kind of smiling, taking it all in.
No, he was smirking, not smiling.
He was smirking, just kind of like, all right, yeah, you guys go at it, have fun. And then they all stop. And they turn to Roman, and you just see that smirk very quickly disappear. And then you see him try. You see him try to direct, like, no, you and him go. And then they all just stomped a mud hole in him into the corner. You know, it's still a shame that even after that championship loss, when everyone said that LA Knight was going to be completely buried, that the fans aren't behind the man at all. Not in the least. Never mind the fact every time he threw a punch, 48,000 or however 40 plus thousand people went, yeah, yeah, with every punch.
It's a shame.
It's a damn shame to see that happen to someone.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it was a good match.
Yeah, I don't think anyone is overly surprised by what happened.
It was nothing not expected.
It's a good way to keep a few people out of a Rumble match that could, in theory, have hijacked part of it, if that makes sense. Mm-hmm. If you had a Randy or an LA Knight in, you know, let's say just for happenstance, if you had AJ facing Roman in this match alone, and then you had LA Knight and Randy Orton in the Rumble, people would have been clamoring for like an Orton or LA Knight win, and that could have overshadowed what happened with the overall Rumble. Does it make it a little bit more predictable in the men's Rumble? That could be argued. But at least it gave them something to do, and from this, you still have angles that you can do to get you to Mania season while keeping some very big names busy as part of those angles.
Yeah.
Because you don't want to do the whole, you know, oh, we get to Elimination Chamber. Oh, people don't really have anything to do, and we're just waiting on Mania. At least with what's going on here, you go, oh, there's still a couple of threads that we can pull that are interesting to get us past this point, and then go, yeah, we're going to build up the big Mania match for X, Y, and Z.
What was your take on the match, Tim?
I pretty much, you know, summed it. It summed up, and it nothing unexpected, really.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, from beginning to end, yeah, it was predictable. You could, but at the same time, just because it's predictable doesn't make it bad in every case.
Mm-hmm.
And it's, you stop and you think about, you know, like, and with the results of the Men's Rumble, it's kind of sort of you wanted it to end the way it did.
It all fits.
Yes, it's a part of the larger picture.
That's really, at the end of the day, what
don't,
you want.
Don't lose the forest for the trees.
Mm-hmm.
And this is all part of the forest.
All part of it. That's a good way to put it.
Yeah. I mean, it was entertaining. You had the spots you were expecting. You had the interference you were expecting.
Mm-hmm.
You had the individual, like the one-on-ones, one after the other.
Yeah.
And everything was good enough it held you.
Mm-hmm.
How many times have we seen a Roman Reigns match where you could walk away for 5 minutes, get a drink in the kitchen and cookies or whatever, and not feel like you missed anything when you got back?
I mean, you could have said a little bit in this one, too.
Right? With this there was a lot less.
A lot less, but there are a few moments.
Yes, a lot less. But
Roman ate everyone's finisher in this match at some point.
He took everyone's best shot. that's the best way to put it. He took everyone's best shot in this match. That's good. It's what you wanted to see.
I think everyone had Randy, or everyone, I think, was a little bit worried about Randy Orton there for a moment.
Yeah, well,
he was holding onto that shoulder a little too long, a little too much. So it's just like, yeah. Oh God, did he hurt something again?
He made it out alive. That's all that matters. He made
it
out alive.
We haven't heard anything, so that's a bonus.
That is a huge bonus, yes. But Roman Reigns still your champion.
Uwu.
Not Uwu.
Uwu.
Not Uwu.
It's the Uwu.
Yeah, no, Uwu. I'm siding with Rock on this one. Shut up.
That's fine, I've got Lindsay. Uwu.
It's not
She's not here. She's in the chat room. Hi, yes. Lindsay. Love you. No.
I'm in the chat too. See, Uwu.
No.
Hashtag team Uwu.
It's not a thing.
Uwu, it is
not
a thing.
It's not a thing. 500 bits if you say Uwu.
Just mute him like he did me, motherfucker.
Anyway, Roman retains up next. Logan Paul, Kevin Owens, U.S. title.
I would say this is the most contentious match of the night.
Oh, it was perfect.
Okay, why is that, Brent?
The ending of it is what people were triggered by the end of this match, it seems. I had no issue with it.
Okay, tell me why.
So, for everyone wondering, we're just going to go straight to the finish of this. Logan Paul, one of Logan Paul's, for lack of a better term, stooges, came out to ringside, and instantly, like, the referee and security are on it. And this kid looks like a damn idiot, because he's just like, I'm here for this! And it's just like, oh dear God. So it's doing what it's supposed to. It's dragging the attention away. And he's just standing there, and the referee is just telling him, no, you have to get out. You have to leave. They call security over. Security is trying to get him out. This brings out the social media duo of Austin Theory and Grayson Waller, who, if you haven't been watching WWE TV, have been involved with Kevin Owens.
Mm-hmm.
So that this works. Gets them going, wait, no, he's cool, he's with us, like, it's all fine. While this is happening, Austin Theory produces a set of brass knuckles, surprise, surprise, and slides them into the ring for Logan Paul. Paul's going to line up his one lucky punch, but Kevin knows what's coming, kicks Logan, takes them, punches the shit out of Logan Paul, goes for the pin, 1, 2, and for the first time in wrestling history, that's hyperbole, I know it's happened in other times, but for the first time ever, the referee, while trying to make the three count, looks and sees the knuckles on Kevin's hand and stops his hand, points at him, and rings the bell for a disqualification.
So what you're saying is the referee wasn't blind?
No, the referee for once actually saw something.
Amazing.
It was amazing to see. Now,
history in the making right there.
Yep. The referee only catches the good guy in matches like that when shenanigans are up.
Now, let's just say, though, I know an entire contingent of the internet, and yes, it is a full contingent because they were in force on Twitter, let me tell you, were bitching about the fact that premium live event match ended in a disqualification or countout. I can't believe you would do that. That's not supposed to happen. Those matches are supposed to have definitive finishes.
Since when?
Since another company probably does that. It would be an entire schmoz fest with 14 people running in, but at least you, quote, have a finish with that. Apparently. I
mean, you had a finish here.
You did. And the thing is, it doesn't make Kevin look weak because Kevin came back in and dropped Logan with a stunner.
Mm-hmm.
He still got his moment. Logan keeps the belt and gets to continue on because I think we all can assume that Mania will be probably the big moment for him and someone else. But it allows you to move on and you can do something like a no DQ match or a last man standing or something where you will have a definitive finish on a big stage, say in Australia?
Possibly.
Which can help get more eyes on that product. So overall, as much as you may want to bitch about, oh, well, this didn't have a definitive finish. Well, yes, it's because the story is not over. This is, you know, the middle of the chapter. And we'll talk about story later. But this is just, you know, part of what's being told. And it's getting you to the next thing where it will have a finish.
Yeah.
Just let it breathe. Everything doesn't have to be, you know, oh, well, there's this and one match and now it's over. And no, this isn't the end of Owens and Paul. Because now Kevin can go, like, you snuck out of this. You didn't beat me. You proved that you couldn't keep me down for three with the punch.
Yeah, and that was the right way to do it.
Yeah.
I called success.
I think it was good. And Logan
did what it was meant to do.
Yeah, and Logan actually looked like a smart individual working Kevin's hand the entire damn match.
Somebody taught him ring psychology.
How about that? How about that?
He also got roughed up in this match. His chest, holy shit, that was a different shade of color.
That was, you have to admit, it was enjoyable seeing him have his ass handed to him for bits and parts of the match.
Oh, Kevin laid those chops in. Probably because Logan was like, do it. Just, if you're gonna do it, do it. And it's like, all right.
And yeah, you know, this match left me waiting for the rematch. It really did. And a Logan Paul match, not my cup of tea, because it's Logan Paul, fuck him. But this one has me like, okay, give me the rematch, hurry up, make it no DQ, give it to me at Mania, fuck, that'd be great. Night one,
you never know. You're really,
everybody's saying, well, you know, Elimination Chamber's next. No, don't hold it that soon.
Well, if you want something else to happen at WrestleMania, then yeah, you do it. You do it at Elimination Chamber. Yeah,
get him a title. Yeah,
just saying.
Yeah, because we know where the title's going. Or at least we think we do.
You think.
History has to repeat.
It could. Talk about it.
It already half did. So
half of it's there.
Yep.
Half of it's there. So let's talk about it. The Men's Royal Rumble.
Woody, woody good. Woody, woody good.
Very good. Very good. Favorite moment, Tim?
For the Men's Rumble, R-Truth trying to get tagged in. Laughing my ass off. He's standing on the apron holding his arm out. Dom's like, what the fuck are you doing? And then Dominic gets his ass beat. And all right, fine. Here, you're in.
I love just the very simple thing of Truth is sitting there waiting for the tag. And I can't remember if it's Michael Cole or Corey Graves is going, well, he's not holding on to the tag rope. It's a very simple thing, but it just like, adds to the absurdity. Out.
Oh fuck no, it was so good. That was fun. I had a great chuckle. Some of the stuff that they've got R-Truth pulling out of his ass on these shows is just it's gold. It really is.
Yeah.
But oh shit, what else was really good? Bron Breakker looked like an absolute beast for the short amount of time that he was in the ring. Of course, he's a replacement for Brock. We're not going to bring up why. That's for you know down the road. Mm-hmm. But he was given Brock's eliminations, obviously.
Supposedly,
but allegedly. But he's on the main roster to stay, and he looks like he's going to be some kind of a big deal in the upcoming months and such. Of course, you know, looked absolutely fantastic, in NXT, mm-hmm. but you know, yeah, I will be expecting big things, for Braun, between now and this time next year.
I think so too. Brent, favorite moment.
My favorite moment was something I didn't think we were going to quite get this early. And what's I talked that? About a little bit with the women's, where you got a tease of something, but they kept it away, building to something bigger. They gave us the thing to start this Rumble. And that was Jimmy and Jay actually coming to blows. So you had number one come out, Jay Uso, and he's hyping it up. He's jumping around. The crowd's loving him. And it was like, oh, who's number two? And I didn't think they were going to quite pull that trigger. And then you heard the music and you just saw Jay's face like, are you kidding me? And his twin brother comes walking on, comes strolling on down to the ring, hops his happy ass on in there.
The second Jimmy showed up, my brain tells me, oh, it's on.
Yeah, we got the yeet, no yeet, and then just bam. Right on into the punches. Now, the two of them together put on quite a show, and it's like, well, we're going to be getting it soon. But, yeah, it was just, to me, it was a bit of kind of a surprise, but it was a good moment to see in that moment.
Yeah, and the way they went about it was almost like, they knew each other in that ring.
Almost since day one-ish.
Yeah.
Okay, got your fair moments. Standout performer was who, Brent?
For me, it was Bron Breakker. Holy God, the way he tore through some of those people.
Yep.
He hit that ring, and they talked about the fact of like, oh yeah, he's been clocked at like the fastest of running ropes. And when
23.5 miles an hour?
When he hit that initial spear, I thought he was going to legitimately fold Jimmy in half. Mm-hmm. And then, you know, he delivered one to Ivar. And he single-handedly eliminated almost. It was just, this was the coming out party for Bron Breakker on the main roster. And it's
Bron
one of
Breakker,
those
things. Okay. Bron Breakker almost was Jade Cargill, Nia Jax.
With a little bit of Pat McAfee thrown in there for 28 seconds.
38
seconds. My bad.
Eliminating himself.
I like the fact that apparently he did not even know he was in the Rumble. It's just like, oh, I'm going in? Okay.
I'll be right back.
And that I love just the two times of like, I'm going to, oh, I'm looking at almost and I'm looking at this big, you know, tractor trailer that's just running people over. I'm going to slowly and carefully go over the top rope. And then he teases coming back in and just sees them both still standing there like, yeah, no, I'm done. I'm going back to my cushy chair.
And the shit Michael Cole was giving him, and he was telling the shit.
Oh, Cole!
I'm still the leader!
I just love the fact of Corey, like, the second that Pat McAfee's name was announced, he's just like, oh, you tried to ruin the Rumble for me, and now you're in this! Have fun! Just Pat all of a sudden, like, oh, God. That was a great moment. But yeah, just Breakker on his run, and... the fact that, like, Dom threw him out, and then Bron took it out on his Judgment Day buddy. Yeah, that was good. That was really good. Poor JD McDonagh in that moment, but still, it worked.
Which coincided with R-Truth coming up for the tag.
Yeah, just rolls him on into the ring to get immediately eliminated.
That was awesome.
Who was your standout, Tim?
You know, it's the same. Absolutely the same. Okay. Bron Breakker. Yeah.
Bron Breakker was surprising and standing out the most for that, but what was the biggest surprise? Is it still Bron Breakker, Tim?
They say for me, yes.
Okay. How about you, Brent?
I think some of the surprises for me were some of the eliminations that happened in the way that they did.
How so?
Shinsuke getting eliminated by Cody wasn't necessarily a surprise because they have a bit of history there. The length that Shinsuke lasted was a little bit surprising because it'd given him a bit of that like extra push. He seemed in there a little short. And it was the same with Finn Balor a little bit. You know, when Finn's in there, he's competing, and then he was one of the Braun, you know, casualties is about the best way I can put it.
Mm-hmm.
But it was one of those things where it's like, if you want to get some people over, and I mean, in every Rumble, not every middle to upper card person's going to have, you know, a lengthy run. Because for all intents and purposes, last night, I would say the ring filled up more than it had in years past in both Rumbles. There was a good amount of time that there was, you know, 8 to 10 people in the ring at one moment.
Yeah.
And it was that kind of thing like, oh, because I noticed that first in the women's match. I was like, there's an awfully lot of people still in this ring for where we're at, or like thought someone would come in and do like a big clear spot. And yeah, Nia did a little bit, but
we mentioned it as we were watching. It was like, it was clearing out a little bit. It was getting full a lot.
Yeah. It was getting full a lot there. And then with the men, it's the same kind of thing. Like you're noticing, you're like, Andrade's lasting a pretty good time. By the way, the spots with him and Santos was good. Santos coming in like, hey, you're a luchador, I'm a luchador, hey, we're gonna be pals. And Andrade just looks at him like, nah, forget you. And it kicked that off a little bit. I mentioned last night, one of my favorite overall moments was just the repeated failure of the high five from Jimmy Uso, no matter who he went to.
Yeet or no yeet.
It was just that kind of like, yo, bro, like, good job, good job. And like, if people walked away, it's that kind of thing. Like, you know, when Solo does it, he just has it like, oh, all right, later. Okay, got it. Or, you know, sometimes when he extends the hand, he gets beaten for it. It was just like a funny little thing to kind of catch throughout the whole Rumble as well. So those are a couple of moments. But yeah, I think the biggest surprises was sometimes just, like I said, some of the eliminations and when they happened and some of the people who went through. But I will say a good surprise was the final four for this year. And we talked about it last night. Like, that's one of the best final fours I think we've seen when it comes to, like, the ending of a match.
It's been a few years, because the Shinsuke, Cena, Roman, Finn final four was a really good final four, too.
Mm-hmm.
But it's been a few years since that one.
Yeah, but Drew looked really powerful in this. You know, they were kind of telling the story with, you know, oh, we haven't really had a back-to-back winner in 26 years. A little bit of foreshadowing there.
Mm-hmm.
You had Punk with the possibly line of the night. I didn't wait 10 years to lose to Dusty's kid.
Yep.
That was one of those moments you went, oh, shit.
I don't know if that was line of the night, but it was definitely the line of the men's rumble.
That one was good. And then the other one, what was, like, right before that, he's like, can you believe I just did that? When he hit the pedigree?
After hitting the pedigree, yeah. I chuckled. I admit.
WWE has gotten good with, like, catching some of those in-ring comments recently. Like I said, the Louis Vuitton line and the women's rumble, some of the stuff that Punk was saying here, those little things add to a match. And it's the same thing with like Roman when he fights in his matches. When he drops in some of those lines, it really kind of adds just that new little wrinkle to stuff that you normally wouldn't hear.
Yeah. So your final four was who, Brent?
The final four, I believe, was Drew, Punk, Cody, and Gunther.
Pretty good final four.
I think Sammy was five, but he got thrown out.
And then we got a match between Punk and Cody.
Yeah, just like last year. We got, you know, it's like there was the Rumble, and then there was like this five-minute match between people at the very end. It was good.
Worth it.
Yeah.
But in the end, Cody wins.
For something sometime down the line.
Yeah. But Cody's your winner.
Yep. Punk tried to hit that last GTS. Cody caught him and just went, uh-uh. Story's not over, and chucked him out and made his intentions clear in the moment.
He did. He wants Roman.
And there's a good video of Roman's reaction to that moment. Like, we caught a little bit of it, of course, on the regular feed, but there's, like, they have an extended thing where it's just sitting there, and you can hear the fans kind of taunting Roman. And it just shows that it's like, there's a little bit more trepidation this time around.
Mm-hmm.
Like, he knows what Cody can do from last Mania and what it took to beat him with Solo. And all of a sudden, it's just like, oh, shit, I have to do this again. And he knows what's coming.
He knows the road he has to travel.
Mm-hmm. And he's already set for Mania.
Yeah.
It's not like, oh, well, now you have to put up your chance at elimination. No, Cody's role is locked in.
Mm-hmm.
And so Roman now has to be like, shit, he knows it's, you know, I've got 3 months now. Damn.
It's on.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, Cody's going to Mania, Tim.
Yes, he is. And is he going to finish the story?
That's the big question. Will he finish that story?
Is history going to repeat?
It's possible.
What are we talking about when we say, is history going to repeat?
So I talked about this Thursday, and I put it out on social media, on Twitter, at Wild Talk Radio. Hogan won in 90, lost at WrestleMania, won again in 91, won the championship at WrestleMania. Shawn won in 95, lost to Mania. Shawn won in 96, won the title at WrestleMania. You know, that whole boyhood dream thing. Steve Austin would lose in 97, would win the Rumble in 97, barely made it to WrestleMania. He passed out to Bret Hart, didn't even get in the title match at WrestleMania. But he came back and won, and the Attitude Era kicked off. The Austin Era begun at WrestleMania 14. Now it's Cody. Can he do the same thing? He lost last year. Now he has the opportunity to figure it all out and finish his story and become the Universal Heavyweight Champion of the world.
No.
Stop it.
Undisputed WWE Universal Champion.
I said what I said, sir.
I'm using the official title.
I said what I said.
Ooh woo.
It's not a no ooh woo.
Ooh woo.
No ooh woo. Anyway.
Doing even the fingers. Ooh woo.
There's fingers to ooh woo?
Yes, there's fingers to ooh woo.
There's fingers to ooh woo?
Yeah, ooh woo.
Housekeeping. I'm done with you. Housekeeping.
All right, we had 14 entrants overall in the pick'em. You'll have the other housekeeping, Rock.
Yeah, Ace, congrats for winning the Whitman, Michael Peterson for the men.
All right. So, in 14th place, going a resounding 0-4 with their picks.
Oh.
Wow.
0-4 was one Subway.
Oof. Oof, sub. Oof. Not off to a good start there, sir.
To be fair, he had Jade Cargill and CM Punk as the Rumble winners, so he was very close.
But not close enough.
Nope, but did not earn a point.
Not earn a point.
In 10th place, tied, we have Sarah and then the 8-Ball Wheel and WWE 2K23.
Ouch.
She tied with the inanimate objects.
Good job.
Tied for 6th place is our occasional host on this show, one Keishi Matsunaga, who also had the unfortunate role of picking number 1 for both Rumbles. It was close, but...
Not yeet.
No yeet.
One of them got yeeted. Michael, who won one of the Royal Rumble numbers, Rob and Sheila at 2-2. So they went 500.
Nice.
Tied for 3rd is myself, Jobber, and one, Tim Stein.
Third?
Yes.
Wow.
We all went 3-1, and we finished 3rd. The reason for that is we have a tie in 1st place, both going 4-0. It is the one brain of the rack, Rock and
Lindsay. Brent, I vote we disqualify one brain.
Nope.
I mean, technically they are a team in fantasy, so I don't know if we can quite disqualify them.
Yeah, speaking of fantasy, you haven't posted in 2 weeks.
Is that it?
No.
Yeah.
When did you post last?
Monday?
Nope.
Yeah.
I looked for it.
It's there. It's either Monday or Tuesday. It's there.
Was
not Monday. It was Tuesday. I was not home Monday. It's Tuesday. It's there.
And we've already had one transaction in WTR Fantasy.
We did. So... But I remember posting because Lindsay retweeted it, and I think Casey retweeted it.
Yeah.
So it's there somewhere. It's there somewhere. Anywho, here we are.
It was January 16th was the last one I see. Week 1.
Maybe it didn't get posted. I know I made the graphic.
I told you it didn't get posted.
I made the graphic. I know I made the graphic. Anyway.
Well, you didn't. You made the graphic doesn't mean you posted it. You didn't post it.
I got busy then.
I've been negative.
Yeah, just throw it up on X tonight, and you're good. And then you have to do it for tomorrow.
Hold. We'll just hold for Tim. Hold.
Oh, wow. My partner is beating me. Jesus.
Okay, week 2 totals, because I made the graphic. it is currently Lindsay had 17, I had 19. We have a team of a total of 36 overall. Overall, Tim, you have 26. Casey has 13 for a score of 39. So you're in lead right there and then.
Wow.
Wheel has negative. Wheel has negative 6.
Hey.
Brent has 3 total.
Woohoo! I'm in the positive.
And positive. Team total is negative 3.
There we go. I want to be negative at the end of the season.
I can tell you right now, the scores are going to be completely different.
Because of the rumble.
Because of the, I was, as we were going through the rumbles, I was, right now, I was calculating some rumble points, and oof, it's gonna be.
There's some movement, folks.
There's movement. There's a
how many points did I lose?
It's not how many points you lost. It's how many points you get for finishing your story, because they're doubled.
Mm-hmm.
Everything's doubled.
Remember, you picked your one person that could be the great one.
I did, and
oops,
you're not gonna like it. Just gonna throw that out there early. You're not gonna like what you see in the end. Anyway, we're done. Where are we going now, Tim?
Well, basically, you can go wherever you want, but you can't stay here. However, tomorrow night, immediately following Raw, is the post show.
It is the Raw post show, 11 p.m. Eastern. Talk all the fallout from Monday Night Raw.
Yeah, and of course you heard us reviewing the Rumble last night. If you tuned in immediately following Royal Rumble, you heard Rock and Lindsay go over it and give you the results. I do believe you guys just might be talking about it a little more.
No, we're not.
Thursday
we're
night, 10 o'clock Eastern.
We're done with the Rumble. We did that show. We're going to talk Vengeance Day. And The Thing. So tune in. Talk about it. It's a story now. So talk about it. 10 p.m. Eastern.
So, you going to play Fortnite this week?
Played Fortnite this afternoon. Me and Lindsay play Lego and stream, so there was that. So there was your Fortnite content for the week. I don't know. We'll figure it out. We have ideas for things. But no, because of Vengeance Day. Can't. Watching Vengeance Day.
Oh,
that's
well,
Sunday.
It was Sunday?
I think it's Saturday.
Is it Sunday?
I thought they said it was a week from tomorrow on the broadcast.
Oh, is it? Oh. Then we may be playing. I don't know. We'll figure it. It might be next Sunday. Oh, it's next Sunday. Ooh, it's next Sunday?
Sunday, okay. February 4th.
All right, then we'll figure out something. I don't know yet.
Yeah, maybe we got a premium live event right. Woohoo!
I figured it was going to be Saturday. So we'll figure it out. I don't know.
We'll
figure it out. Yeah. But Saturday for sure is CB Radio. Live at 11:30 p.m. Eastern. We're back after the week off because of the Rack Extra Reviews. So, yeah, CBRadioLive.com.
So, once they figure it out, you'll be able to find out if you follow us on the social medias.
Indeed. We will be back next Sunday, though, for WTR Sunday Night. That is confirmed. We are doing a show next Sunday, 10 p.m. Eastern, because the following week we're not doing a show. So mark
the following week, something's going on.
It's the big game.
A big game.
Big game, so we're not live in two weeks.
It's the annual sports ball.
Exactly.
Break.
So it's...
Yeah.
So it's called the Big Game TM. Anyway, it's at Wild Talk Radio, Twitter, Facebook.com, so it's Wild Talk Radio Network. It's WTR Sunday Night on Facebook and Twitter. At Kyle Driver on Twitter and Instagram. Link in the description for his merch stuff, for his Redbubble. Do the thing, click the links, look around, see what you want. At Kyle Driver. Tim, you're on the social media at
Flames Forums. So you should follow me there for absolutely everything going on. The NHL is on its current week-long hiatus because the NHL All-Star Weekend commences next Friday night and goes through Sunday.
Brent, you're on social at...
Yeah, you can find me on different socials at Kane Kittens. So just keep an eye out there, and sometimes I post my comments and diatribes, and yep, just keep an eye out.
Chat, if you have Amazon Prime, link to your Twitch account. It's called Prime Gaming Support Channel. Click the purple rectangle at the bottom below the screen. You can use carry code ROCKSOCK in the Fortnite item shop. It's hashtag Epic Partner. We'll see you all week long for a variety of content here on the Wild Talk Radio Network, Tim.
Absolutely. That being said, are we done?
We're done.
Rock, say goodnight.
Good night, everybody. You got me.